L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Monday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We normally come to you every Wednesday. Coming to you Thursday this week. I was up at the LPGA Tournament of Champions. And this week's guest, LPGA player Matilda Castrén. 2021 was kind of the big breakout year for her. She won on the LPGA Tour that year. She won on the Ladies European Tour that year. She made the Solheim Cup. They won. She played her golf, college golf at Florida State, where she was a seven-time winner. And one of the things I want to try and do with the pod is get as many players. And listen, everybody wants to talk to the superstars in golf, right? All the household names and stuff. But I think it's important to just talk to players on whatever tour and just kind of get their story and kind of get, you know, their perspective on what's going on in professional golf. Matilda is, you know, she's not flying around on private jets and building big giant houses. She's just a regular tour player who's a winner, who's won a Solheim Cup and just trying to win as many golf tournaments as she can. So really cool interview. I got to sit down with her a couple weeks ago. Really like her golf swing and really like her story. But before we get to that, let's talk about our friends at Cobra Golf. They've got a new driver out, the Cobra Dark Speed. Listen, it went straight into my bag. And the first thing about it is I love the way it looks. Drivers. I think drivers are a lot like putters. If you're going to get a driver and you're going to put it in your bag, it's got to have a really, really good look to it. I like the color combinations this year. A lot of matte black, but I like it. And again, it's one of those drivers that just looks fast to me. Three models, the LS model, which is low launch, low spin. And if you're that type of player, the guys at Cobra, the R&D guys, they feel like the 8-degree LS model is kind of their race car model. So if you're looking for a really, really fast driver and you need low launch, low spin, the LS is the model for you. They've got the X model, which is the best of both worlds. Low spin, a little bit faster ball speed, but the stability that you're looking for. And then the Max, which is the most forgiving of the three. It's got a really heavy weight in the back. It's got the highest MOI, and it's the most forgiving. So three different drivers in the new Dark Speed lineup from Cobra Golf. And like I said, I like the way it looks. I've had it in the bag since, you know, probably November, and I really like the feel of it. I like the sound of it, and I think Cobra's on to a winner. So if you are in the market for a new driver in 2024, don't sleep on the Cobra Dark Speed. Give it a try. Three different models. Whatever you do in the golf swing, it is going to, whatever your game is, Cobra has a driver that will help you improve your driving and enjoy your golf even more. So like I said, Matilda Castrén, cool story, plays the LPGA Tour. I'm excited for everyone to hear her story. So sit back and enjoy this one. Matilda, breakout year in 2021 on the LPGA, 2022 and now into 2023. What do you feel like has been different about the last couple of years? Because obviously you win your first LPGA in the same year that you win on the LET. And it's kind of one of those years where it's like, wow, you know, you win a couple of tournaments and kind of you're on a bigger stage. What do you feel like this year was like for you? Because I looked at some of the stats and it looks like you didn't necessarily hit the irons as well this year as maybe you did the last couple of years.
No, I mean, definitely my iron shots were a lot worse than last couple years, really. Off the tee, I kind of struggled, not all year, but most of the year. So that didn't put me in the best position to hit a great shot into the green. But yeah, I think it was a lot of expectation from myself, and I kind of let the expectation of others also get to me. I kind of took a lot of pressure on that. And I mean, I had some goals this year that I didn't accomplish. I wanted to play in the Solheim. I wanted to play in all the majors. I didn't get in the US Open. So I was kind of like chasing a lot of that. And I ended up playing a ton of golf, and I feel like I kind of exhausted myself.
It's a catch 22, right? When you're not playing well, there are times where you want to take time off to maybe practice or just say, hey, listen, I'm going to do a reset. But when you're not playing well and your status isn't great and you look at how many tournaments you've got over the course of the year, you have to sometimes keep playing when you're not playing your best. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is it can get really difficult when you get into these difficult times of the year, because sometimes you just say, listen, I want a break. I want to take a couple of weeks off. But the season's right in the middle of it, and the tournaments are kind of coming thick and fast.
Timeline.
And you have a timeline, and you're like, okay, I haven't gotten off to the best start this year, so I've got to keep playing when I probably need a break or a reset for the next couple of weeks.
Exactly. I mean, trying to qualify for the Solheim, like I knew I needed to play certain events, and I knew the captain was going to be at some of them, and I needed to kind of show my best. And
You know, on the PGA Tour, they call that Ryder Cup-itis, right? Mm-hmm. So you have those guys that are kind of have that year. It's a Ryder Cup year. They're near the Ryder Cup. They're being talked about as somebody that could make it. They're probably going to have to get a pick, and then you're running out of tournaments. You know that there's spots available and you're trying to play your best. What's that like from, do you feel like sometimes that's a situation to where the goal can sometimes almost get in the way? It's something that you can want so much. I mean, there were so many people this year, both on the men's and the women's side, that wanted to be on the Solheim Cup, mm-hmm. that wanted to be on the Ryder Cup. And towards the end of the year, they actually don't get it done, because they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you have, like, you know what you need to do, and it just doesn't really, the more you want it, you just have to kind of put it on the back burner. I tried to tell myself it's a result of, you know, doing the daily things well, and like, that's not, it's my goal, but I shouldn't only focus on that. I should focus on going to practice and doing my little things that I do every day, and just try to play good golf in the tournaments and not just focus on the end goal. But I think it was really hard for me to get that like into my brain. I was still just thinking of the rankings, and even though I try not to look, it was still in my mind.
It's impossible not to look.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I really, really wanted to play in Spain. I haven't played a Solheim Cup in Europe, so I was really looking forward to that. But
do you feel
it
like
didn't work out?
I remember saying this to Brooks Koepka when Brooks was starting out on the PGA Tour, and he hadn't been on a Ryder Cup before, and then he got on his first one at Hazeltine. I kept saying to him, "You will never not want to be on one of these after you experience the Solheim Cup for you as an experience, having tasted that and been a part of that." What's that experience like, and what does it make you, what are the things that you like about the Solheim Cup that make you say to yourself, okay, I have to be on the next team? What is it about those weeks that are so, so unique and so special?
I love the team spirit. I mean, Team Europe, we had such an amazing energy in the buses going to the tournament, to the golf course, and like playing together, practice rounds. Everyone is just like there for this same goal, and the energy is just so amazing. And I remember being there and telling myself I never want to miss it, and I want to play in all of them, and I thought for sure I'm gonna do it. And it's not it's not that simple. You gotta play really amazing and earn your spot in the team. And I mean, I still have it in me that I don't want to miss it again. So,
And the pressure in Solheim Cups, very much like the Ryder Cup, it's a very different pressure than you feel week to week on the LPGA Tour. Because first of all, you've got a team, you've got captains, you're playing for something bigger. What's that pressure like? And when you first experienced it, when did you say, okay, this is a completely different feeling pressure-wise than what I'm used to in stroke play events?
The first tee on the first day, we were the first match, me and Anna, and she hit the first tee shot, and I was like, thank God she's hitting the first tee shot, because I was so nervous. You know, number one and 10, the tee box were together at Inverness, and the stand is behind, and there's just so many people, the energy, everyone's screaming, and the music is loud, and it's just so different than anything I've ever experienced and any other tournament I'm ever going to play in. So it's just an immense amount of pressure. You're not just playing for yourself. Like the success and the failure is for the team. So it's just so much more.
I've said this before on the pod, and I got to experience this in Rome about a month ago for the US team. My favorite things about Ryder Cups and Solheim Cups are no different. Those late in the day matches to where there's really only a couple of matches on the golf course. Maybe there's only one. The entire team is there. All the team carts are there. All the caddies are there. All the wives and spouses, everybody is there, and you're all of a sudden you feel like, okay, I feel like this is something really, really bigger than I am. But it's like a traveling circus. The US team will be on one side, you all will be on the other side, and you're all going down. Normally it's kind of opposite sides of the fairway with the kind of the traveling entourage, and you get to watch these final matches. I always think that those are very, very special moments. And when you're you get to watch a match that your team is in, you know, on whatever side you're on, when you get to watch a match that maybe they're one down going to 16 and they flip it, you can feel that energy change. I think more than any golf event I've been around, Solheim Cups, Ryder Cups they turn so quickly on momentum.
Yeah.
What's that like when you feel the momentum building on your side, and then when you miss a par putt and all of a sudden you get back down to square and you can feel the momentum shifting?
I mean, momentum is everything in match play. You can be three down, but if you have it going for you, you make a couple birdies, you can kind of, you feel that, hey, like you have a upper hand against the opponent. It's kind of, you can tell that their confidence is kind of maybe crumbling a little bit. They're not so sure about it anymore, and you have like five holes to go, and you know, things can change so quickly. I mean, if you're three down after nine holes, that doesn't mean anything in match play. So that's just really the exciting part of it. Like you always have a chance. As long as there's holes to play, you always have a chance.
When you're in a team competition and you've got a partner, are you someone that immediately goes into, okay, this is my partner, this is my teammate, I'm going to ask their input for reading putts, for reading greens, for club selection or stuff? Because a lot of the, you know, like rarely do we see great partnerships that kind of embrace that. But there are a lot of, I mean, just in looking at some of the guys, I mean, some of the guys just, they do their own thing. And there are players that really like having a partner and really like asking questions. And then there are players that say, listen, I'm just going to do all this on my own. So what type of player, when you were on the Solheim Cup, did you say, okay, you're out first with Anna Nordqvist? How quickly did you say, okay, hey, take a look, what do you think about this? Or did you kind of do your own thing?
It was kind of in between. So I knew obviously, she's very experienced and she's a veteran and she knows what she's doing. So I know she's probably not going to ask me for much help, but I knew she was there if I needed anything. There were obviously some like game plans we went through, like par fives, where to put her on the layup, or whether like if it was a tough shot out of the bunker, like where would she like to, would she like for me to go for it, or maybe put ourselves in a more strategic position. So we're kind of in between. I don't think we read any putts together, but there were some of those during the game decisions that we did make together. And she always made herself available for me. She told me she's there if I need anything. And a couple times I think she noticed that I was kind of like, I had a couple holes that I wasn't doing so great. So she came up to me and was like, hey, you got this. And like gave me a little bit of a confidence boost. And that was great because she's someone that I really look up to.
So when we look at the men, it's been, you know, since 2000, I mean, I was at, was it 1993 is the last time the U.S. men's team for the Ryder Cup has won on foreign soil. You were part of a Solheim Cup team that won in the U.S. How is that different? Because I think it would be cooler to win one on foreign soil. I mean, obviously winning in Europe is an amazing experience, right? And you've got the crowd on your side, but when you're actually able to go over to the U.S. and you actively feel like you're hitting shots and making putts that are actually silencing the crowd, that must be really a cool, cool feeling when you're on the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, the crowds were really quiet in the end because there were no European fans during COVID. Yep. Nobody could come in. Not even our families were able to make it over. So
it really was just the team, the captains and the caddies.
Yeah, like some of our spouses were there. But in the end of the last day, it was very quiet and it was so satisfying because, I mean, we were underdogs that week. Like we weren't really expected to win. We didn't have any fans, and on U.S. soil, I mean, it just made it so much better.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So you got your first PGA Tour win in 2021. First female from Finland to win on the LPGA. I think it's very important when we look at countries that aren't, you know, the big, big golf countries. Finland is not a big golfing country. It doesn't have a massive, massive history. Mikko Ilonen, who I used to work with, won the British Am, won a bunch of tournaments in Europe and stuff. He was kind of the flag bearer for Finnish golf. Do you feel an extra sense of responsibility now that you've won as the first female on the LPGA Tour from Finland? Because I think it's huge for developing golf in smaller golf countries. everybody's idols are, for you, it's easy for your idol to be, you know, Annika or Tiger Woods or something. But I think it's really important to have people that you can look up to that you can say, okay, yeah, obviously I'd like to be the next Annika Sorenstam. I'd love to be the next Kari Webb. But I'm 13, 14 years old right now. I live in Helsinki, Finland. Yeah. Here's someone that is from where I'm from. They grew up in the same place that I did. I think that's really important for the younger generation to see people like yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, female junior golfers in Finland now have someone. They said, listen, she's won on the LPGA Tour. She's won on the LET. She played on a Solheim Cup. That's who I want to be. I don't want to necessarily be somebody that I'll never get a chance to meet that's from the United States or from somewhere else. I want to be the next Matilda.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool to hear some of the juniors tell others that they want to be like me. I mean, the last couple of years has been really amazing to like build that platform. And it's just an honor for me to carry the Finnish flag on tour. And
you got to do it in the Olympics as well.
Yeah, and I hope to do it again. And I hope to achieve bigger and better things as well. And I want to be that person that the juniors will look up to and they kind of see that they can do it too. Because I was the second Finnish player on the LPGA. There was a lady called Minni Blomqvist.
Yeah, I remember her. Yeah.
Yeah, so I looked up to her and she was kind of my role model when I was a little girl. And I knew she played out here. And that was kind of why I wanted to come to the States and play.
Yeah, that's my point. I think when we look at developing golfers and people say, well, it's not a big golf market, I'm always looking at, okay, who are the players coming out of that system, right, that other people can kind of look up to? And you have someone that say, okay, I can make it because they made it. They're from where I'm from. And I think, you know, I heard somebody say something. Everybody thinks, if you think that, oh, you know, I can't make it, everything's stacked against me, they always say, listen, if somebody from where you're from has made it, that means that there is a pathway that you can go out and try and do some of the same things. The golf season in Finland is not long, right? How many months would you say the Finnish golf season is?
I mean, if you're lucky in Helsinki, you get May till October, which is not terrible, but it takes a while for the golf courses to be in good shape.
In Finland, it can still be snowing in May.
It could be, yeah. Yes.
And then the further north you go, the season obviously is really, really shrunk.
Yeah. So golf is not big. You know, ice hockey is huge, other winter sports. So I'm just really happy to see that golf is growing in Finland. There's more juniors coming out. A guy, Sami Välimäki, who just got his PGA Tour card,
right.
First Finnish golfer. So there's some really exciting things happening, a lot of good momentum, and I hope it just keeps growing.
You made the jump from Finland, played your college golf at Florida State, won seven times?
Seven, I think.
Seven? What's the difference, would you say, between winning in college? Because obviously multiple winner, a lot of girls go to college and they never win anything. So to have that type of career, second team All-American, but to win seven times, you can't fake that, right? You can get lucky and win once, but to win multiple times in college is huge. What is the difference between, do you think, winning in college and then making that jump, having now won in Europe and on the LPGA? What do you feel like the jump is, or is there no jump? Is it just, I mean, we always say, listen, it's golf, right? It's golf, the collegiate level versus the LPGA level. The only difference is the stage is bigger, right? The stakes are bigger. You're playing for more. But at the end of the day, it's still just golf. Did you notice a difference between college golf and professional golf?
I did. And I had my first couple of years as a professional were not great. I kind of had like this, culture shock maybe. I played on the...
Just kind of freaked out when you got there or were like, wow, it's a bigger stage or put too much pressure on yourself?
Well, there were a lot of good players.
Yeah.
Because when I was in college, there's not that many girls to compete against.
Yeah, there's normally one at each school, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to... Rarely and this happens in men's college golf as well. Rarely do you have four just absolute superstars mm-hmm. playing every week on the same team. And ladies golf is no different. You're going to play tournaments where there's really probably, you know, if there's 50, 60 people playing, there's really only a small amount of people that are really going to have an opportunity to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Right. When you make that jump from college to the professional rank, then everybody's good, right? Do you feel like you can sometimes, you know, it was funny, I had Joe Scaver and Ricky Fowler's old caddy and now caddies for Tom Kim. And he said one of the things that he noticed about Tom is he didn't seem, even though he was a rookie and just getting his first win, he didn't seem like he was kind of freaked out about being on tour. And he said something that I thought, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. It's easy to get lost on tour. When you're a rookie, you can come out, you can try stuff, you have more access to stuff.
It can be intimidating.
It can be intimidating because I think you can sometimes, you can overpractice, you can bounce around with coaches, you can bounce around with caddies. Was that the culture shock you were talking about to where you're like, okay, and here's the other thing. Nobody tells you how to be a professional golfer, yeah. right? There's no school you go to. They don't take, there are no classes you take and nobody really sits you down and says, okay, you've come from playing college golf. Now you're going to try and be a professional, whether you're on the Symetra Tour, whether you're on the LET, wherever, or the LPGA. It's different.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was so good. So if I didn't have a great week, instead of being still in the top 20 in college, I would miss the cut and not make any money. So that was really shocking to me. And it kind of like, it affected my confidence, but after a couple of years, I worked through it, and then I got to the LPGA, and I was like, okay, it's the same thing, but now it's just like a step above. Everyone's just a little bit more better, or a little better than the previous stage I was in. So I think I was really comfortable in the LPGA because of that. I had already gone through like this tough time in my career, and I just kept on playing golf and kept on doing what I was doing, and I have a really good friend who helped me a lot, Kelly Tan. She's been on tour for 10 years now, I think. And she helped me a lot my rookie year just to kind of learn the ropes. And yeah, that was a huge help.
When you, I mean, in looking at your, like I said, I look at your stats from last year versus 22. One of the other things was this was a year where you missed a bunch of cuts. I think you missed 10 cuts last year. You only missed two. When you are missing cuts, was it a year to where you just weren't playing good and you're missing the cuts by a lot? Or was this a year to where you're like, you're missing cuts by one shot and you're like, okay, I didn't really play that poorly, but I missed another cut. And it's how you get out of that kind of spiraling thing. Cause you, like you said, you can get on the no cut train, right? You can start to get on that train to where, you know, Thursday, you don't really, really play that great. So, you know, Friday, you're basically going to be playing the whole day right on the cut line, right? And you know it, right? You know whether you're teeing off early or you're teeing off late on Friday based off what you did the day before. You're looking at the scores. You're like, okay, this is going to be one of those days to where now I'm starting on Friday knowing that I need to shoot a good score today mm-hmm. to make the cut. Talk to me about that situation, because that can go one of two ways, right? You can start to press too early, or you can use that for yourself. I'm always fascinated when players are knowing going into Friday they are on the cut line. Sometimes you go out and you shoot 66 or you shoot 68 and you don't really, but it always seems like when you have that run to where you're missing cuts and you're right on the cut line, everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Every break that you don't need to have, that you need to have, you don't get. Did you miss a lot of cuts this year by one or two, or was it just not really playing that great?
Early in the year, I missed a few cuts just by one, like three. I think it was three in a row.
So frustrating.
It was so frustrating. But later in the year, I wasn't playing well enough. I really struggled getting out of the tee box. Like no matter what club was in my hand, I just really struggled.
Did you? When you got up on the tee, was it as much a mental, did it become as much a mental thing as a physical thing to where you haven't been driving it great, even though the fairway can seem wide open, all you see is the trouble? Was it that type of thing to where you're standing up there and you're not freely swinging you know, just standing up and saying, listen, I'm not worried about the outcome? Or did you feel like you had the handbrake on and you were a little bit worried? And
that I was always worried about the outcome. And it's been really hard getting out of that mindset. And some days it would be great. I could shoot six under, and then some days I'll maybe hit three fairways and that's it. And it doesn't matter if it's the widest fairway on the course or the tightest one. It's a mental thing. And that's kind of what I struggled with this late summer. And it's really tough.
People always say, I mean, you know, one of the old cliches, you drive for show, but you putt for dough. But if you're going to play competitive golf at the elite tour level, if you can't drive the golf ball, it makes things exponentially difficult.
I was just asking to have it in play and I couldn't. And that just made everything else so difficult. And
how much of it do you feel like the poor driving this year in 23, Matilda, how much do you feel like that was technique and how much do you feel like that was execution or the way that your mental approach was? Because I think it's always, we're all predisposed as golfers to think everything that we do wrong is technique, right? Okay, I got to go to the range and technique. But you're also saying that you're going to the golf course with the driver and you're just hoping to get it in play. Mm-hmm. So how much this year, and if you had it to do over again, would you say, okay, let me maybe switch how I was thinking and see if that maybe worked as opposed to just more technique, more technique, more technique?
Yeah, I worked on both my mindset and technique and everything really that I could have. But what I would change is I would go back and not play as much. I felt like I was just pushing too hard and kind of like on the edge of a burnout. So I just had a lot of anxiety even just going to the course. I mean, practice round would be great. I'm relaxed. I'm having fun and I'm playing really great. And then the tournament would start and I'm just like,
And then playing golf, and I think this is something else that's really important for everyone listening. It's much easier to play good golf when you're in a good mental space and you're thinking clearly, you're thinking positively. It's hard when it's hard when golf isn't fun. And I think when you're like you said, you're grinding through all of these weeks, you're missing cuts. You're tired, you're not having a lot of fun on the golf course, you need some weeks off, but you have to keep playing. And it's that balance of, okay, and so when you're in that space mentally, how do you try and get through it to where you're like, okay, this isn't fun, I'm not having any fun, I need a couple weeks off, but I can't take any time off?
I mean, it's hard. What do you do? Like, you can try doing different things. I always think if you're just like banging your head against the wall, you need to get out of it and do something completely different. Like maybe try adding someone in your team and maybe they could be helpful, like a new coach, or just getting your mindset like on a different track, because wherever you're going is not working.
That's always, it's interesting to listen to that from a player standpoint, because as a coach standpoint, you know, I have been, you know, I've worked with players. I thought we were on the right track. They were struggling on the golf course and they will come to you and say, listen, I just need to make a change. And it's always frustrating for me because I'm always like, man, if you just stick with this, grind it out, you're not that far away. But like you said, sometimes you're just like, listen, I just need a reset. I just need to reset. And the majority of the times in the professional game, that's either the coach or the caddy, right? Those are the two. Because, and I always say this to people, you can't fire yourself, right? This isn't a team sport to where you can come home and say, okay, well, I did my job today. I shot 66, but she shot over par and she shot over par, so the team didn't play well, right? That's what happened in college. And in professional golf, it's just you, right? You're the only person that can affect the outcome. Are those difficult conversations when you do have to say to caddies and coaches, hey, this isn't working out and, you know, I'm going to try and make a change?
I mean, of course. And I actually didn't make a change that big this year, but I did tell my coach, like, whatever we've been doing, we need to just try to find something else for me to focus on. I didn't fire anybody.
But I also think that's really something that's important, Matilda, that I always say to players. I think sometimes players can get into the trap of working with someone and the coach that they're working with is telling them to do stuff. And I think sometimes it's important to do what you did and say, listen, I don't want to break up, right? I don't want this relationship to end. I still want to have you on my team. I still want to have you on my coach, but we've got to go in a different direction, right? We've got to try some other things and maybe you can, are you someone that wants a lot of information from your coach or are you someone that wants minimal information? Because listen, I work with three players, but two of the players I work with, Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, they want as little information as possible, right? And there were a lot of times to where as a coach, I'm like, man, if I could get in here and just, but the way they work and the way they operate, that they just aren't those type of players. So you as the player, what are you looking out? What do you want from a coach? What do you want from your instructor?
I mean, I obviously want to get better, and that's the main goal. And I don't want a lot of different things thrown in my direction. So as little information as possible and as effective as I can and as simple, like I want to keep it simple. I don't want to overcomplicate things. And sometimes if there's too much information, that kind of overwhelms me. So I'm the same way. Like I just want little information and let's keep going that way. And that's it.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So in looking at 2024, are you someone that is a goal person? Are you someone that writes goals down? Are you someone that is going to look at the stats from this year and say, okay, let me go ahead and sit down with my team and say, okay, this is obviously, the data tells me this. Or are you someone that says, okay, listen, I'm going to write down what my goals are. There are players that I've worked with, you know, Brooks always writes down his old goals and never tells anyone what they are.
Okay.
Right. So, and when he always used to go New Year's Day, he said he used to always go to the beach and he would get up early and he would go down and he would just go sit on the beach and he would write down what his goals were. And I've worked with him for almost 10 years now. I've never known what any of his goals are.
Okay.
So are you a goal person? Do you write stuff down? Is that, does that help you? Does that not help you?
Yeah, I do write my goals down.
I think that has a lot of power, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To write it down. So you have to look at it.
Yeah.
If you write something down January 1st of something that you say you want to do, what your goals are, the things that you want to change, by June, you can also see if, you can also look back at the statement you wrote and check in with yourself and say, okay, what have I done and hold. I think that's one of the reasons why I think writing your goals down are really powerful.
Yeah.
Because if you write it down, that's coming from you.
Yeah.
And then you can go back and look at it and say, okay, well, I wrote this down on the 1st of January. What am I doing to try and fix this?
I mean, I write my goals down. I go through them with my coaches, and then we figure out what do we need to do to accomplish these goals? Mm-hmm. What do I need to have in my daily life to like make this goal happen? So I think it's like, yeah, you can write down your goals, but if you don't know how to get there, that's totally, like, that's next level. You need to know what you need to do on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, where you want to be by March next year. And that's what we do with my coaches.
Lastly, we're going to go through all the elements of golf: driving the ball, iron play, short game, and putting. So you can take one person on the LPGA tour to come drive the golf ball for you. Who are you choosing? I mean, who do you play with where you just say, man, if I could drive the golf ball like that, my life would be a hell of a lot easier?
I think I'd have to choose Nelly.
I mean, she just drives it.
I mean, it's long, seen her miss.
It's far. She doesn't miss fairways. She hits it miles. Yeah. I mean, she's an unbelievable driver of the golf ball.
Yeah. For iron play, I choose myself when I'm at my best, I think.
Like that?
Yeah, that's really my strength, and I'm working hard to get back there. I want to be number one in the
stats from last year.
Stats.
I mean, you know, 113th. But I mean, that's where I think the stats are powerful. People don't realize. I mean, you just look at it, and you're like, okay, I'm hitting 65% of my greens this year, and last year I'm hitting 71%. That might be one or two greens per round, but if you come off the golf course and you just say, okay, just if I can hit one, maybe two more greens around, the stats go the other way and your confidence goes up a lot too.
Yeah. And also the proximity to hole, like 2021, I felt like I was always hitting it so close. And even the courses that had really small greens, I felt like it wasn't a big deal to me. I think I was top three in greens per round. So yeah, trying to get back there. I know I'm really good at that, and I know I have it in me. Just
short game on the LPGA Tour. Whose short game do you look at and you say, man, give me some of that?
Probably Hyojo Kim.
Yeah.
She, every time I play with her, she makes at least one chip off the green.
Lydia Ko's short game's
dirty
as well. I mean, she...
For putting.
I mean, she's a pretty good putter. So, I mean, putting-wise, who are you taking for putting?
I think I'd choose Leah.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. She has what my dad calls great putters have. Their putts have the go-in look, right? Even when they miss putts, their putts look like they're going to go in, look like they have the right speed. Are you someone, Matilda, that likes to dye your putts in the hole, or are you someone that feels like you're an aggressive, kind of more kind of forceful putter?
When I'm putting it great, I'm definitely more aggressive. The ball goes in with more speed. So that's what I'm trying to be.
All right. We're not going to let you go without giving us, you don't have to tell us all of them. You can keep some for yourself, but give us one of the goals you've got for 2024. What's something that you want to share with us to say, okay, this is something, because it's going to be out there now. So you've actually said it.
I think you can probably guess it.
Drive the ball better.
No. Solheim.
Solheim. Okay. So the next 2 years, we've got a 2-year cycle. Everything in 2024 and
1 year.
Oh, you guys only have 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You only have 1 year.
Yeah. This year, we're getting on that, back on that opposite side of the men's.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So the COVID thing kind of condensed everything and switched it. So now you guys, so just this year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So goal.
But obviously, I want to drive the ball better. That's going to help me get there.
Drive the ball better. Solheim. And another Solheim Cup that you're hoping to play in America. So, I mean, you've got to be a pick because, I mean, you've won one before, right?
We'll see.
Great to talk to you, Matilda.
Thanks, God.
I think everybody's going to be watching and looking for that kind of form from 2021. Get after it. Drive the ball better.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
So that was Matilda Castrin. And like I said, everybody that plays professional golf kind of has their story. And I think she was really, really honest about, you know, last year in 2023 wasn't the best year that she had. And listen, it's hard to keep producing year after year after year. And that's what the great players do, right? They make golf look easy. They make winning look very, very easy. And you think that you're just going to be a winner and keep winning all the time. And sometimes it doesn't turn out like that. And I think getting a perspective from Matilda on, you know, not the best year that she's had last year and how she's trying to come back from it in 2024. She talked a lot about driving the golf ball. And listen, everybody that's listening and trying to improve their game, the tour players are trying to do the same thing. They struggle with the same things we all struggle with. They have good days, they have bad days, they have days where they hit it good, days where they don't hit it great. And I think the more everybody that's trying to get better at golf, the more you can hear that the best players in the world are trying to do the exact same thing that you're doing. We're all in the same boat. We're all just trying to improve our golf, hit better shots, and improve our scores. So really, really cool for everyone to listen to Matilda, and she was pretty candid. So I want to thank her, and definitely a player that I'll be looking at in 2024. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Monday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.